All right, we're beginning with Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. All right. Here we go. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the Pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report to us what kind of welcome we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Where there
The other day, I took my youngest daughter on a college trip to her top choice college. It was a lovely day on a beautiful campus. Leaves are happening. The weather was just about fall perfect. And of course, it was also very nerve-wracking. I'd been spoiled. I'd kind of gotten used to not having to think about college things for a while. My other two daughters are out of school, been out of school for years, and we're working very hard to free ourselves from all of that college stuff, i.e. loans, which if you've been paying attention, you know, are back on now with interest. So I'm back in the boat with our third daughter, exploring the wide world of college life, college applications, and yes, college loans. Oh, we must love her a lot. What I found particularly interesting was watching my daughter engage with people in the admissions office and other school staff throughout the day. My little Rachel was all getting grown up right in front of me, before my very eyes, growing up. She was presenting herself to these people who might very well walk with her into her next phases of life. Because, you know, it is important when you meet others how you present yourself, right? In those kinds of situations, it wasn't an interview per se, but good impressions, of course, are crucial, right? You want to make sure that staff walks away with a positive, accurate picture of who you are. That same little girl that used to go tromping with me through the woods or playing games for hours or working on puzzles, was showing us all there who she was now. And I'm glad to say she did well. She knows better who she is and who she wants to be. At least for now. You and I are not the same person we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or however many years ago. Sure, there is a part of us that is constant, but I imagine you know how different you are from that 5-year-old that you once were, unless you're currently 5. Yes. You're absolutely the same person, but also completely different. In fact, we're never just one person, right? But we're constantly on a path of change and growth. Things happen to us all the time that nudge us one way or the other, that refine who we are as individuals. Most of the time, we probably are not even aware of these nudgings, but occasionally something dramatic happens that gives us a big push as people. It may be something good or not so good. My daughter getting that acceptance letter to a college would kickstart her onto her next big time of growth into adulthood. But successes, failures, additions, losses all lead us in directions. Positive routines and bad habits shape us. time itself wears on us as our bodies wear out. The mind is a tricky thing too. Before you know it, you're something of a different person. It might not be so easy to know clearly who we are. What I've realized about the journey through Exodus that we've been doing this whole time is that this whole story, in this story, that people are really trying to discover. This is what they're trying to do, to discover who they are and who God is. And Moses is right there also asking these same questions. They were slaves, and then they're runaway slaves, and now they're wandering, hungry non-slaves, and part of them will always be thinking about Egypt. They might be God's people, but they don't know who that God is. This God showed up, did some big signs, opened the way for them to leave, but now it's hard to know if this God is still with them. It's not too hard to get people to wonder that same question today. Is God still with us? One big difference between then and now, however, is that we've had thousands of years to figure it out, right? To figure out some things. We cannot help but read these stories from the standpoint that we already know where it's headed. We have an understanding of God. They didn't really. We have an appreciation of Moses. They didn't really. It seems like everyone in these chapters is trying to figure out who each other really is. Every follower of Jesus has to walk their own Exodus too. We say, Jesus is our Lord, but do we really even know what that means for ourselves? How I know Jesus is not exactly how you know Jesus. How God sees me might not be the same way that God sees you. Who are we? To take it one step further, there is some kind of connection to being blessed in knowing who we are. In other words, to be blessed or to find God's favor is to know who God is and who we are. That is what Paul is calling to the attention of those followers of Jesus in the churches in Thessalonica. He reminds them how they followed his example, Jesus' example, and how they became an example to others in living in Christ. Their lives were changed to be like Paul and his practice of faith in the Spirit of God. He rejoices because they grew into faithful people. They found out who they are, or who they were, who they were created to be. They discovered God's favor. Someone else who really wanted to know God's favor was the Israelites and Moses. After the debacle last week in that golden calf, the people didn't know which way was up. Moses didn't know either. Even God wasn't so sure. The beginning of Exodus 33 has God saying, they can go on to the land of Canaan, go on, their new home, but without God. God said, I'm not going with them. They can have an angel leading the way, but if God were to go with them, they might not survive. It's that road trip that pushes the parents in the front seat to their breaking point, but rather than pulling the car over, God is telling them, you're going to drive yourselves. Thankfully, Moses steps in again to ask if that's really what anyone needs. Who are you, God? Who am I to be your agent? Who is this people you called and claimed? It's time to sort this out. With that in mind, I'm now going to read Exodus 33. I bet you were worried I forgot. Exodus 33, friend, 33, chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you've said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, God said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here, for how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one can see my face and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." In this great book of discovering who is who, we begin to see answers for their exodus, for their journey. Our journey, actually, friends, is a little tricky today, too. Who is Moses? Or who is this? Who is God? All that's one thing. But we get into, well, who are Americans? Who are Republicans and Democrats? Who are men and women? Who are Palestinians and Jews? Who are friends and enemies? Who are our sisters and brothers? So much of politics, so much of religion, so much of culture, so much of life is identity-based. In order to find God's favor, we need to work on our identity. But so much gets in the way. Moses' blessing ends up being a little more than he bargained for. He found out, of course, that God was going to travel with them to the promised land, the land of promise, and that God was going to be with them in the divine presence. The people needed to know that they had a God who cared. Just after this, what I just read, God even proclaimed his own identity. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed down to the ground and worshiped. He said, "If now I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, I pray, let my Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for your inheritance." Moses found out. that this was a God of forgiveness, but also a God you did not want to betray. The people found out that God was invested in them, and they were invested in God. That was that inheritance language. They spent the rest of their 40 years out there working out what it meant to be God's people, to live in God's holiness, to grow as God's people, and to remember God's worship. Moses even spent so much time with God that his face glowed. They discovered that it was with God and only with God that they would cross into the promised land. And when they doubted themselves, God, they also doubted God. But when they believed in God, they also believed in themselves because God was with them. Yes, it is one thing to say, another thing to live. They continued to struggle, and it was their children who eventually entered their hoped-for land. Please, do not lose sight of who you are first. Yes, you have a name and a history. You have a genealogy and a family. You have friends and a community. You have a nation and work. You have political leanings and commitments, but you are a child of God. When all else is said and done, we have to come to this time as children of God. As God's children, we are also all related in Christ. That's why we're sisters and brothers, literally in Christ. To find God's favor means to begin there. No matter what we're facing or what box people may be trying to put us into, what labels we may be trying to use or abuse, we are still children of God. This is something we share with all people, even the ones we don't like so much, even the ones we hate. Children of God will find God good and gracious, and they will know God's favor. To God be the glory. Amen.